Earth Sky.
Welcome to Earth Sky 22, your 22 minutes of science and music from Austin, Texas. I'm Michael Brennan. This week, the dog star, Sirius, a beautiful new song from Dana Falconberry, and we'll explore a theory called true polar wander. Here's your scientist soundbite.
This star, Sirius, is actually the brightest star that we see in Earth's sky. When you see it relatively close to the horizon, it does flash a lot of different colors, and that's because it's very bright and it's shining through Earth's atmosphere, which is causing it to twinkle and flicker and shine in all those different colors.
That's sky watching expert Deborah Bird. More with her later, but first, Emily Howard and I are going to run through the science news of the week. Welcome, Emily.
Thanks, Mike. A 1,000-year-old Buddhist statue taken to Germany shortly before World War II by a Nazi-backed expedition to Tibet is now believed to have been carved from a meteorite. The statue is known as Iron Man. It bears a swastika on its chest, a symbol that dates back to ancient India as well as classical antiquity. Scientists from Germany and Austria determined the meteoric origin of the statue through chemical analysis. The statue is believed to be carved from a piece of the Chinga iron meteorite that fell near the border of Siberia and Mongolia about 15,000 years ago.
Another coronal mass ejection left the sun around October 4th and interacted with Earth's magnetic field, creating beautiful auroras, or northern lights, seen across northerly latitudes on the night of October 8th. You can see some of those amazing pictures on our Facebook page.
ESA's Herschel Space Observatory has discovered enough water vapor to fill Earth's oceans more than 2,000 times over. It's in a gas and dust cloud on the verge of collapsing into a new sun-like star. Stars form within cold, dark clouds of gas and dust, pre-stellar cores, that contain all the ingredients to make solar systems like our own. So this could one day provide a rich water reservoir to feed potential new planets.
Researchers have found what they say is the only fossil ever discovered of a spider attack on a fly caught in its web, a 100 million-year-old snapshot of an engagement frozen in time. The extraordinary fossils are in a piece of amber that preserved the event in remarkable detail, which you can check out at earthsky.org. That's science news of the week. Thanks, Emily.
Thanks, Mike.
This week's song of the week is called Lake Charlevoix from Dana Falconberry. It's off her new full-length album, Lilano, which came out this week. Enjoy.
Did you think of me that day when you drove down the driveway? I was a handful then, I know, with my shoes untied. I wouldn't watch the sunset without a coat and a helmet. I was a quavering maple leaf about to drown. But on the shore of the lake last fall, I don't know if you heard or saw, but I found a crow in the sand and I asked, am I missing something? From you and laughed, I meant I was sorry, just so you know. I read the letter you wrote to me when you moved back to Kentucky. Said the hills are so green, my God, you should see them. And now, though it's early spring, still cold in the morning, and I keep my curtains mostly closed. Oh.
Find us as Earth Sky on Facebook, Earth Sky Science on Twitter, and at earthsky.org. I'm Jorge Salazar. Deborah Bird joins us now with news of the global night sky, the bright and shifting light of the dog star, Sirius. Welcome, Deborah.
Hi, Jorge. Yeah, the dog star. Doesn't that just like seem mysterious and amazing?
Yeah. So what's happening here?
Well, so this star Sirius, is actually the brightest star that we see in Earth's sky. And at this time of year, and we're talking in October, the star Sirius is in the morning sky. It hasn't yet shifted over into the evening sky, but a lot of people are seeing it in the morning now. And when they see it, they always write to us and say, wow, I saw this amazing thing. It was really sparkling. It was flashing all these different colors. And what was it? And on, you know, 9 times out of 10, that's the star Sirius, because when you see it relatively close to the horizon, it does flash a lot of different colors. And that's because it's very bright and it's shining through Earth's atmosphere, which is causing it to twinkle and flicker and shine in all those different colors.
And the dog star Sirius is doing something interesting for sky watchers, isn't it?
Well, it's doing something interesting, and actually the Sirius isn't doing anything at all. Sirius is just out there in space shining away like it always does. But what's happening is that Earth is going around the sun, and as we travel around the sun, all the stars rise 4 minutes earlier every day. And likewise, Sirius is rising 4 minutes earlier every single day. And so what's happening there is just that our view of the galaxy, our view, it's like we're on a merry-go-round and we're looking at first the snack bar over here and then the entrance gate over there. And, you know, and we're doing that as we travel around the sun every year. So what's happening, the result of that for Sirius is that it's shifting from the morning to the evening sky. So by this winter, you're going to see this very bright star Sirius shining in the evening. And by about January or so, Sirius will be much higher overhead and people won't be commenting then once it's not so close to, not viewed so close to the horizon. And people won't be commenting as much that it's flashing all the different colors. Then it'll be shining with this steadier, whiter light. People often compare it to the brilliance of a diamond.
Yeah, I want to hear more about Sirius. It's our closest companion, the dog star. It's pretty close, 8.6 light years away. Tell us a little bit more about Sirius.
Well, Sirius isn't the closest star. This closest star is Alpha Centauri. But Sirius is pretty close as stars go. It's, as you said, it's only 8.6 light years away. So, of course, you know, we see stars that are thousands of light years away, and we see galaxies that are billions of light years away. So as objects in space go, this is a pretty close object. So Sirius is the brightest star in our sky, but you know, it's not bright because it's a giant star. It's actually an ordinary star. It's a couple of times more massive than our sun, and it's a couple of times larger in diameter than our sun, and does shine more brightly than our sun shines, but it's not one of the giants of the galaxy. But it is a very interesting star. It has a companion called Sirius B, sometimes called the Pup, which has an interesting history that you can read about at earthsky.org. But the most important thing, I think, for people right now is to learn to know Sirius, see Sirius. And again, in the month of October, Sirius is in the morning sky. So there are a couple of other bright objects in the morning sky. Both of them are planets. Again, Sirius is the brightest star, but there are two brighter objects up before dawn now. One of them is the planet Venus, which is in the east, and the other is the planet Jupiter, which will be in the west at dawn. So Sirius will be more toward the southeast. And you can tell Sirius from these other two objects because it's not as bright, and because planets shine with a steady light, but Sirius is going to be twinkling like crazy because it's a star and the stars twinkle. So there's one more way you can tell the star Sirius, and that is the very prominent constellation Orion, which is recognizable for its belt stars, three stars, medium bright stars in a short straight row, very obvious. Those belt stars point to Sirius. So if you see a star you think might be Sirius, look nearby and see if you can see those three medium bright stars in a short straight row pointing to that star. And if it is, that's probably Sirius.
And Deborah, why is Sirius called the dog star?
Well, there's a really simple reason, and that is that it's in the constellation Canis Major, which is the greater dog.
And you can see pictures of Sirius at our Facebook page and at earthsky.org.
Right. And let me give the spelling. It's S-I-R-I-U-S, Sirius. So come to earthsky.org and search for Sirius.
And thanks, Deborah.
Thank you, Jorge.
Earth Sky's Deborah Bird. And we're Earth Sky, a clear voice for science.
And hear Skin and Heart and Lungs from Austin band Language Room off their 2012 EP.
How much can you say with all the time that plagues your tongue? Folding empty hands, waiting for your chance to run. But how much can you heal if all you know that's real is what you feel in the skin and heart and love? Morning doesn't lie, empty as the night before. Last thing you would do was the first thing you would choose, reaching for what else could you do?
We'd love to hear from you on Facebook. Tell us where you're from. You can find us as Earth Sky. Deborah Bird is back with a story about something happening to our planet called True Polar Wander. It's got volcanoes. Welcome, Deborah.
Hi, Jorge. Hi again. True Polar Wander. I had never heard of True Polar Wander, had you?
No.
It's kind of a small, obscure thing. And let me say from the outset, we're not talking about magnetic reversals here. This is not magnetic reversals. This is something different.
Okay, yeah, these are two different poles that scientists use to describe the Earth. One pole is the pole around which, that forms the axis around which our planet revolves.
And right, then
the
day other and night, pole, day and night.
Right, day and night. And the other pole is the thing that a compass will point to.
Right, compass points north. And so this has to do not with the magnetic pole, but it has to do with the the axis that the Earth spins around, the thing that causes day and night. And what's happening is that according to geophysical theory, there's a drifting of the solid exterior of the Earth. And that's actually a change in latitude for some land masses relative to the planet's axis of rotation that happens very slowly over time. And so geophysicists believe this should happen. And now what's happened is that they have a new computer model that tells them that indeed it is happening. It's happening today.
And this has something to do with magma.
Sorry. Well, it does, because it's because of the reason that it happens. And so what happens is that, you know, you can imagine the solid Earth spinning, right? And maybe some of you know that Earth is wider at its middle than it is from pole to pole because of that spin. But now imagine what would happen if there were a supersized volcano or other really heavy landmass that would form somewhere near a pole. Like that land mass, that big mass as the Earth is spinning, is going to throw the Earth off balance just a little bit, just enough to cause this, what they call true polar wander.
Yeah, I was breathing a sigh of relief there. I was hoping that you wouldn't ask me to pronounce the name of that volcano in Iceland. But yeah, so these are volcanoes that happen near the poles. They're shifting little, they all add up and they kind of shift Earth poles around which it revolves.
Well, the axis of spin is not changing. But what's changing is that the solid exterior of the Earth is shifting just a little bit with respect to the pole. So if you, Jorge, planted a stake, say, at the land mass of, say, the South Pole, because, of course, at the North Pole there is no land, there's only water up there. But at the South Pole there's land, and if you stuck a pole at the South Pole, over time that pole would shift just a little bit. That land mass would shift just a little bit with respect to the spin axis of the Earth. And when I say a little bit, I mean a little bitty, bitty bit. We're talking about a rate of 0.2 degrees every million years.
You know, it's amazing that scientists can actually know this.
Well, they don't know it in fact. They haven't actually measured this. So what they've done is they've, you know, scientists are people who do two different kinds of things. One thing that they do is they observe things. They measure and observe things happening in the world. But the other thing that they do is they think about things. So this is more in the thinking about things category. This is, as I said, it's geophysical theory. So it should be happening. So nowadays we have these big computers, right, that help us think about things. And so what these scientists did, and these scientists are mostly from Norway, there's one from Germany and a couple from Norway, what they did was they used the idea of hotspots in Earth's mantle. And so if you think of the Hawaiian Islands, the Hawaiian Island chain formed over what's thought to be a hotspot, a particularly hot spot in the mantle of the Earth. And the mantle is the layer of the Earth that's underlying the Earth's crust. And so now we have to talk about a different theory, and that's the theory of plate tectonics, which was formerly called continental drift. And true polar wander is not continental drift either. It's a different effect. Continental drift or the movement of land plates on Earth is thought to be caused by convection or circulation going on in this mantle of the Earth. But it comes into play in terms of how these scientists are studying true polar wander. So what happens is that you have a hot spot in the mantle. The mantle is sending up this spout of magma to the crust, through the crust, and that's forming a volcano. But because of the drift of the land plates, due to continental drift, and again, that's a different effect going on, that volcano is moving away from the hot spot. So the volcano moves away, and a new volcano forms, and then that volcano moves away because of continental drift, and then another volcano forms. And over time, you get a long chain of volcanoes, and that's what we see in the Hawaiian Island chain. For example, it's a very clear example of that. So these scientists in Norway took the idea of the hotspots in Earth's mantle, and instead of letting them hold still in their computer model, they actually let the hotspots themselves kind of drift around, and that enabled them to establish what they called a stable reference frame for measuring this true polar wander, this very minute wander of the solid land masses of the Earth.
And how much do the poles wander?
Well, so again, this is all theory, but based on this reference frame that was this, you know, put together in this computer model by these scientists, they say that twice in the past 90 to 40 million years, the Earth land masses have traveled back and forth by nearly 9 degrees with respect to the planet's axis of rotation. So that's a pretty big shift. But what they say is that in the past 40 million years, the Earth's solid outer layers have been slowly moving at a rate of about 0.2 degrees every million years.
Yeah. And are the scientists saying that we in Texas here might wind up in South America one day?
Yeah, well, one day, and that'd be about, I don't know how many billions of years from now. So this is a really small effect, but, you know, an interesting one.
Thanks, Deborah.
Thank you, Jorge.
Earth Sky's Deborah Bird. And that's our show. Thank you for joining us. This week's show was recorded at the Earth Sky Studios in Austin, Texas, the live music capital of the world. Our producer is Michael Brennan. Special thanks this week to our musical contributors. For more information on the science and the music you heard this week, visit our website at earthsky.org. Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
There are too many artists, too much art, and not enough genius, I believe. Science is the art of the next age. There are so many artists, too much hype, and not enough reason, I'm afraid. Silence is the song of the next age. But what we don't know won't hurt us. What we don't know won't keep us up at night. What we don't know won't hurt us. But we don't know, but we don't know, but we don't. What you don't know won't hurt ya. What you don't know won't have you terrified. What you don't know won't hurt ya. But you don't know, but you don't know, but you don't.